business rock stars. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to the show. Joining me now, Jessie Mae Wolf. She is the founder of Heart Rise Movement. Thanks so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So we've met. I just love your energy, what you're all about. So it's so fun to be able to sit here with you and dive into your entrepreneurial journey. So let's start there. I know you've had many endeavors that I don't even know about. So tell me about them and really how it kind of led to Heart Rise Movement.
Absolutely. Well, I will say that I really believe that we all have this inner knowing, this guiding force. And there was always that within me. So I always had an entrepreneurial spirit, even as a young kid. As a young child, I was doing all kinds of projects. And, you know, my dad was in the clothing industry. So I would get t-shirts and tie-dye and making jeans. And I just had this very kind of innovative entrepreneurial spirit. Fast forward, I studied many different modalities and different things in university, and I was very curious. And that led from film into communication. And then I went I started my own clothing line. So with many chapters in between, I won't get into all the details, but I started my own clothing line. And that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And there was a creative side to it. There was a connective side to it, which I really loved. But I really found that the sort of rat race of the industry and that sort of like continuous cycle of turning things out and just nonstop, some of that vision and that creative vision got lost in translation. And so what I found was when I shifted gears, what I realized and when I reflected, and this journey has continued to show me, is when I realized all the aspects that I really loved so much about having had that clothing line, because on the outside, it looked like super successful. You know, we had 400 stores and 6 showrooms and yada, yada. And it sounded fabulous. But on the inside, I was crying inside after, you know, 6 years in. I'm giving you the abbreviated version.
Sure.
After having had other agencies, design agencies, marketing, a lot of experience that led to that. But by the end, I was just at this point in my life where I'd built this thing and I realized, you know, this isn't really my heart and spirit. And I was just really, I felt forlorn. I felt like I'd built this big thing that was no longer really a reflection of what I had started with and that why, the heartbeat of who I was. And so that had been a guiding force for my whole journey. And what I came to realize is how much I loved inspiring others, working with creatives, working with entrepreneurs. That led into pursuing a coaching path, which in essence grew into consulting and speaking and workshops. And over the course of that journey, and that was a huge challenge to shift gears from having started a clothing line into coaching. You know, at each juncture, there was always that question of like, are you sure? Like, that's kind of crazy starting a clothing line, or like then taking a big left turn and suddenly coaching. Like, but each one, there was a real conviction within. And so essentially, and again, I'm giving you super abbreviated, there's so much more to say. But the coaching continued to guide and support me in realizing that it was very much about that connectivity, that inspiration, that working with others that I loved so much. And the more I did, the more Heart Rise came into being, in essence. And it's a specific practice around listening to that inner vision, that heart vision. And it's really informed through many of my experiences working with others as a coach, with a lot of creatives, a lot of entrepreneurs, really consulting with companies and things along those lines, as well as studying so many modalities from Eastern traditions to the more Western approaches, and studying the science of the heart and really that being the epicenter. And that sort of brought me to Heart Rise. And again, I'm giving you like the supers.
Yeah, no,
there's so much to say.
But no, I think it's really brave and powerful when someone listens to the heart of what it is that they want and holds loosely to the form. And I think you had that journey where at one point you wanted this fashion career and it didn't end up resonating with your heart. So you shifted gears, and that is very brave too, pivoting and switching gears. And that's something our audience can really relate to, because they're in a space right now where a lot of them are leaving 9 to 5, something secure, and they're venturing off to something that is not as secure, but comes with a lot of rewards, of course. So can you talk a little bit about making the pivot? What was it like for you? Something to keep in mind?
Yeah. And thank you. I'd so honor those questions. They're all very valuable. And I know as an entrepreneur how it can seem daunting and fearful to take that leap from a 9 to 5 and sort of a stable environment with good pay and all these other perks, but to sort of really follow something deeper within. And what I would say, and the key piece always, is listening to, you said it, that heart, that light within, and letting that lead. Because when that leads, it's fierce. And I call it the fuego, or the heart power. When that is leading, it's not to say that fear won't come up. It does and it can. But it's how do we move through that And how do we allow for that guiding fierceness, that guiding power, that resonance that people respond to? By the way, the other piece that's so powerful is that things start to align. When we're in that aliveness, when we're leading with that light and that fuego, that conviction, we're unstoppable. It's only when all the doubt and the fears creep in that it can be dangerous, or that's where we tend to fall prey to what this one's doing or what that one's doing, or how should I, and all the fear and the doubt and how that can happen. And so for me, it was always making sure to return back to what lit me up, the why, the heartbeat of it, which is what led me to even start the clothing line in the first place. You know, I wanted to inspire others through clothing and these lyrical, colorful collections. And as soon as that vision was lost in translation, I felt like I needed to shift back to the current, which was the why, which was my heartbeat, and listening to that, making sure that that informs whatever the creative entrepreneurial venture is. Because when that's in alignment, people come forth. You can inspire, you can create. It's amazing how much the universe responds to that kind of.
Sure. But of course, sometimes when you're listening to your heart and you're following your vision, other doubts and fears pop up. Like, is this sustainable? Is it going to last?
Right.
It's the roller coaster of entrepreneurship. Yep. It's just a given. Yeah. So what advice do you have for dealing with those fears and doubts?
Yeah. Heart Rise. No, it's honestly, the truth is I bring Heart Rise into a lot of companies and with creatives and entrepreneurs because it's very much about that. It's literally recognizing the busy. So you're witnessing what is, because in order to be able to shift how we navigate, we need to really be noticing what we're leading, where we're leading from, and what is that directional interest and ultimately, what is the map and how are we following, and are we just following or are we leading? And so that question, moving out of what I call the head trip narrative, which is the busy, which can be the stress and the shoulds and all those pressures that come up as fears, when you can recognize that and move through it, which is what I've found so powerful about the heart's energy, is there's actually an alchemical energy. There's an engine, if you will. And when you move through that, you can recognize it's not that the fears don't come up. You know, I hear this idea of being fearless, or we hear that it's great to be fearless, or it's talked about, but there's no such thing in my experience as being fearless. We all have fear,
right? Do you even have fears?
I do. Yeah. I do.
You can speak to a fear that sometimes pops up for you in your business specifically.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd say it's always just, you know, taking that leap each time, you know? So, I mean, even just launching out and beginning Heart Rise to begin with, or any of those, you know, at each juncture, starting my own clothing line, shifting into coaching. At each point, there was a fear. And when there's fear present, it's usually a great indicator that more is wanting to be revealed. And if it's not the right thing for us, we also get that instinct. We get that heart compass directive. And so the heart is your best guide. Fear is not something to push away, but actually to embrace. And as I like to say, to move through it so you can repurpose that energy, because fear is just contracted energy. When you move through it, you can repurpose it and express it as your fuego, as your passion, as your creative juice, as your what you want to attract. So it's just how we move through it. It's not to push it away, but to embrace it. You know, the gut and the heart are connected. So the heart is the engine, if you will. They've measured the electromagnetic field of the heart as being the most powerful source within us. So it's powerful enough to light up a small city. So if you can just imagine we have that power available. That, in essence, is the generator for all of the other, everything else. So our gut and our heart and our intuitive sensibility is connected. So I definitely always will rely on that energetic wisdom that I believe guides us all. We're never taught how to harness it. So which is why it's so easy to subscribe to the noise, the hype, the stats, the this, the that, the should show, as I call it. I mean, it's nonstop out there. And if we listen to that, I mean, my experience is it may work for a minute, but it's not sustainable and it's not fulfilling at the end of the day. So I'm always about going with that intuitive knowing, that gut, that heartbeat. And how do I do it? I move through, and there's an actual four-step method with Heart Rise, how we really learn how to alchemize and move the energy so that you can be leading with that heart wisdom, that power, that source. And then it's just, you're unstoppable. Our radiance is contagious, as I like to say.
What does a typical week look like for you?
It varies. It really changes. So some days are more active engagement, working with others, working with groups, working with teams. I bring in Heart Rise to corporate teams. So we do workshops and heartstorm sessions and creative sessions. I work with everyone from sales teams to marketing teams to, we'll do offsite team building. So I do some of that. So it varies. And then there's also creative development days and production days. It is true that shift from the traditional 9 to 5 mode to complete freedom can be very disorienting. But I always encourage sort of beginning with creating, even if it's a 2-hour, 3-hour little block, to give yourself some space to see what wants to emerge. Because there's a lot of magic in there. There's a lot of real infinite wisdom that comes forth in that space if we give ourselves. And ideas, as entrepreneurs, I mean, we're creative forces. And so when we give ourselves the space for that, it's amazing.
Great advice. Well, we're going to talk about building your business when we come back. Sit tight. We're the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Court Furniture Clearance Center for up to 70% off new retail prices. Stock is updated regularly, so you never know what kind of treasures you'll find. We offer a wide variety of stylish furniture for any budget, and every piece is Court certified, so you can let your personality show in every room. And now through April 3rd is our tax refund sale. Mention Refund 25 and take 25% off living room and dining room sets. Use your refund and refresh your home with stylish finds from Court Furniture Clearance Center. Go to courtclearancefurniture.com today.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I am continuing my conversation with the founder of the HeartRise movement. So you touched on it a little bit earlier for how you got into this entrepreneurial endeavor, but really what's the idea and inspiration behind HeartRise movement?
Yes, I love that. Thank you for asking. Well, HeartRise, so RISE stands for, it's an acronym for Radiant Integral Soul Energy. So it's like plugging into the power, quite literally, of your heart. And what I found in my journey as an entrepreneur, as a creative, as someone who is always curious and connecting with many people and traveling the world and living abroad and having different companies and consulting, was this connectivity, this real fluid current that exists amongst all of us, beyond boundaries, beyond corporate environments, in all different ways. There is a synergy that connects us. And so HeartRise, I found that the heart was really a very powerful way to plug into that. And so working even as a coach for the years that I have, and essentially I still do, but now I do it in a bigger scale with bigger communities and companies, was that how do we bring it back to that energetic wisdom, which is really what the HeartRise practice is about. It's plugging into that energy source, that power source. And with that, you can guide, you can lead, you can cooperate, you can collaborate, you can create. And it's a simple, very modern method. It's 4 simple steps, you know, so it's really easy to practice. You can do it on the fly if something triggers you, or if you're going in for a big presentation, or you want to have a big, I like to call them heartstorm sessions, these creative sessions where you're, you know, really visioning into something. So it can really support you in a practical way. In a modern way.
Yeah. And obviously us being a business show for our entrepreneurs, it can really, really help your work culture, the connection between employees, collaboration, creativity, a lot of benefits there. So is it something where you could share the 4 steps in a nutshell?
The four super simple steps are, the first one is with heart vision, I see. So what you're doing is you're witnessing. So as you were saying before, like we were talking about fear or whatever might creep up. As an entrepreneur, as a creative, if you're coming up with a new idea or you're visioning out a new, you know, the different phases or the, you know, the year ahead and whatever that may be, the first step is with heart vision, I see. So you're witnessing what's there. So whether it's something you're calling in or it's something you're releasing or wanting to get rid of a block or a fear, you're witnessing. So the first step is with heart vision, I see. You're becoming energetically aware through the heart. I'm simplifying. The second step is with heart focus, I feel. So we're actually letting the feelings breathe rather than containing and contracting them. Because one of the reasons fear and all of that become so prevalent is because we're holding so much inside. So it's that contracted energy. When we feel through, we heal through. So you move the energy and then it doesn't have its hold on us. So as entrepreneurs, as powerhouses, you want to let that energy move. So just by feeling it, you don't need to analyze it and overthink it and get doubtful about it and dubious and stressed out and anxious. You just feel it. So second step is feeling. With heart focus, I feel. Third step, with heart knowing, which is strengthening the heart, I free. So that's where, as an entrepreneur, that leap that we're often presented, that fork in the road or that big decision or that big courageous move you have to make, by freeing, by letting the heart's energy go and opening it, you actually learn to move with the fourth step, which is with heart wisdom, I flow. And that's when you start to connect with this energy that literally is the energy that connects us. Everything is energy. So you're guided, you feel it. You meet someone new, they're putting out vibes. It's a good intuitive hit. You get that energetic read. We don't realize it because we're so busy judging and in our heads, but you walk into a space, you feel energy. You know, we are constantly attuning to vibes and energy. And as entrepreneurs, it's our best guiding wisdom. But most of us are busy head tripping. So when you instead are aligned with that energy, so it's see, feel, free, flow. And essentially, you're just activating the engine of your heart. You're igniting your heart's power. You're plugging into that electricity, which can...
So flow is more so the plug-in of the...
Flow activates it. So seeing, witnessing is recognizing something might be blocked or you want to let go of something or you want to call something in or you're bringing in a big idea or you have some vision. Mm-hmm. So it's seeing, witnessing. The second step is feeling. So I call that, it's like activating, igniting the engine or the heart fire. So you're feeling it, you're letting it be felt. So you don't need to think about it. You just feel what's there. So if it's fear or if it's excitement, but you're letting the feelings move, because the reason we're so afraid of the heart is because we don't really know how to work with that energy. You know, we're so programmed to think an open heart is like, you know, or surrender. These ideas are so like fearful, like they bring up fear, but it's just because we're holding so much. If you let the feelings move, they don't hold you hostage anymore. So feeling, and then you free, you let it go with heart knowing, you build that heart muscle. And then with heart wisdom, I flow. And then you're plugged in, you're tuned in, you're activated, present. Yeah. It feels good. You're that person who lights up a room instead of bringing the heavy, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Okay. And then High on Heart is your book.
Yes.
Tell me about this.
Well, High on Heart, I'm very excited and proud. It's like my book baby. I wrote it and designed it. And it's basically the HeartRise method in a book. It's a very pretty, pretty little thing.
Very pretty.
Without going through the whole thing, I'll just share. I don't know where I'm flashing, but just so you get a feel, it's a very visceral. So each of the steps is in there and it really describes what's in there essentially. And it's a very simple, practical, pick it up on the go, on the fly. You know, you can read it in the morning. If you just open it to a certain page, it can just hit you with a little heart hit, exactly what you needed in that moment. And it's really there to support the practice. So it's meant to be practical and playful and inspiring.
So I know that you were initially self-funded and recently acquired seed funding as you're growing, and it felt very organic and heartfelt to you. So tell me that story.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had interest for over the course of my journey as an entrepreneur in potential investors and investment. And, you know, when I was younger, I didn't always realize it was people were drawn to my light or my presence and what was happening, which is exciting, but it sometimes didn't feel aligned all the time. So I was very cautious and I really built this heartfully. And so when this opportunity came up more recently with somebody who was really impacted by one of my workshops, and really it was life changing. And it was a woman and it was amazing. And she really, I was so touched. And it was really just something that spoke to me as far as her wanting to get involved in helping spread this message. So it felt so organic. One of my friends who works with startups and, you know, female founders and founders in general, and she raises funds like big time. She's like, never in my life, only you, Jessie Mae, would get, you know, and it happened so organically, but it was because it was so aligned and it was lineage from her grandmother. So she wanted to do something meaningful, because this really beyond even, I mean, the entrepreneurial spirit is that for me anyhow, it's to help as many people as we can to empower them beyond. So I feel like this was an opportunity to grow this vision in a way that's really going to reach beyond boundaries. Mm-hmm. So it feels very organic indeed. Yeah.
Lastly, how do you hope to disrupt the status quo in business and beyond?
Well, I'm doing it, girl.
Yeah.
You know, bringing more heart to the mix. I mean, living and leading heartfully. I really believe that emotional intelligence, as we're catching wind, I mean, that's sort of the trendy way to say it. And it's legit. I mean, it's learning to strengthen the wisdom of our heart is everything as far as I'm concerned. We're so caught up with sort of academia and I'm not dismissing anything about academic intelligence. It's brilliant. And we're, you know, that the mind
has its place.
So important. And as service, as being of service to the heart's wisdom. So that's what I've really come to understand. It's just how do we learn to lead instead with an intuitive knowing and letting that lead. So in the workplace, in, you know, and again, I bring this to big companies, it's just how can we build, because if you have teams that work together and teams that are inspired by each other, we can change the world, like legitimately. And I see it happening.
Thank you for sharing your heart wisdom with us today. Pleasure. I know that you will have touched many entrepreneurs watching and listening.
My pleasure.
So
thank you.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of
Mark Lack, this is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jo Angelo is joining us right now. She's the CEO of Genev. Recap first what your company does.
Genev is a women's healthcare company focused on women's hormonal health. And we provide healthy products and content to help women live the best versions of themselves.
So you said you guys are providing products on the back, because I was going to ask how are you guys able to monetize what you guys are doing. So how do you go and get these products? Are you the ones making them? Are you finding, you know, products that you end up white labeling? Are you doing joint ventures and affiliates and host beneficiaries? How are you guys doing it?
It's a combination. So our healthy products, they're consumer products. We sell them on Amazon.com, Walgreens.com, and we sell them via direct via Genev.com.
Okay.
And they are products that we both manufacture. We've also private labeled some. We develop our products focused on the symptoms women experience with hormonal change in their body. And so a couple of the products, one in particular, we have developed ourselves and manufacture. It's got FDA clearance. A couple of the others we've private labeled with the Genev brand, just to give a family of products for women.
Nice. And so when it comes to selling those products, is it specifically inbound marketing for people reading your content, or do you guys actually have different strategies and tactics to go out, put advertisements and marketing campaigns out that yield sales?
Mm-hmm.
Is
yes.
it just content marketing?
Yes.
Is it both?
It's a combination of both. So content marketing is huge, obviously, because we're building a consumer brand that's based on trust in a relationship with women around their health. So that's one facet. The other, we do some paid advertising, obviously search and SEO work just to start to build our brand. We've done some press as well. And then we obviously market through the Amazon and Walgreens engines that we're part of from a distribution perspective.
Nice. What have you found being some of the best platforms to distribute your content? And what have you found being some of the best platforms to sell on? Because a lot of people are doing Facebook ads, LinkedIn, you said Google, SEO, different things like that. What's working best for you?
So on the content side, we're obviously publishing ourselves direct and then pushing that out through channels. We're really building the backlinks with different influencers in the women's health space, whether it's mommy bloggers or, you know, bloggers focused on nutrition and exercise and so forth. But we also publish a lot to Medium. It's a long form space that a lot of people appreciate content, and that's the kind of original content that we're creating with medical experts and with women telling their stories. On the marketing side, or the digital marketing, Facebook ads, huge. Our space, because women's health sometimes includes some terminology that is a little bit more sensitive in nature, we really have to work with Facebook to find the right language so that it is publishable. Same with YouTube and Google.
Awesome. And I know that it is difficult to deal with Facebook sometimes with the wording and everything like that. A lot of people don't understand. And I think that if you dominate Google search engine optimization, people are probably, I know you and I talked, said we can't say some of the things, but people are probably all typing that in on Google. And if you guys can make sure that you're, you know, paying for those $12 keyword searches, then you guys are going to dominate. But then you got to have a good lead capture and funnel and conversion process at the back end. What has it been like for you? Because I know this is new for you. Getting into this space, dealing with generating, qualifying, nurturing, converting leads. How has that experience been for you?
You know, first of all, when you come from a big corporate space, I was an executive in the corporate space, so I had a team that did a lot of this work. So I'd learned to do it myself. That's number one. And you've got to understand it and dig in. I think more than anything, especially as well as a startup, you have small budgets. And so I can't go out and put $12 on a term that a big competitor, a big brand that's already in the space is buying on. And so I've got to find the long tail terms, own those, and start to build gradually. Especially on the content side, that's where I'm going to build loyalty and trust with consumers. And so that's my angle to trying to find a unique and different way into this business. A third mechanism is really focusing on the medical referral channels. I'm talking to doctors, physical therapists, women's wellness spas and centers, oncology departments to get our products into their space so it develops that word of mouth.
How has it been received from influencers, from partners, from doctors, from different things like that? Has it just been kind of like, we get it, let's do something, let's figure out how to make it work? Or has there been like, well, I don't know?
It's, we get it, you know, for a long time.
Because sometimes first year businesses have trouble conveying the message, the value proposition, and setting something up in their first year.
Yeah. You know, I'd say with our audience, with women and with medical professionals, they're like, oh, we get it. In fact, when we started this, we surveyed 1,500 women to understand the kind of products they used and where they bought them. And we came back, they gave us feedback we didn't think we'd get. And they said, would someone start the dialogue already around this topic? So well received there. From investors, that's where a topic like this is kind of like, you're not my space.
Are you trying to get investors
right now? Quite get it. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. I'm curious to find out how you are looking to raise money and then allocate it. CEO of Geneve, Jill Angelo, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about investors right now. Why do you think you need investors? What are you going to do with the money?
I need investors simply to get the business going. In my space, I'm in the manufacturing space, so I need cash outlay for products up front, as well as to build a consumer brand. It requires digital marketing. And so that's where investors are coming in to fund the business.
Okay. And you're going to use the money for products. You're going to use it for marketing to grow the team and everything like that.
Yes.
How has that process been? Is this your first time trying to raise money?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's been probably one of the harder parts of the job.
I was going to say.
I had original angel funding up front, and that was a great kickoff and support system to get the business going. And I think maintaining that, especially in the manufacturing space, I've got to find an interesting combination of debt-driven funding for production and then save the equity for team and consumer brand building. That's kind of my strategy. And finding that right mix is a challenge just to get it right, especially at such an early stage.
What has been one of your best lessons so far when selling? I remember when I was going out raising millions, and it's just a crazy experience to sit down with high-level people that can write a check for seven figures and getting the feedback from them and being nervous. And what has been one of the best lessons for you that you could share? Because a lot of people out there are probably like, I'm trying to raise money too. I'm struggling, or I'm trying to figure out if it's right to raise money. What's been the best lesson for you on that process?
Well, first of all, really understand the investor and their motivations. Mm-hmm. If you go talk to them and they're not interested in your space or in your kind of business, you're just wasting their time and you're wasting yours. And I've learned that. I've been told that as advice, but I think once you really feel it, when you find that connection with someone who's really interested in your space, that's great. I think as well, know your numbers. Understand the economics of your business and how one thing builds and leads to another, and then have that dialogue with the person. And it's okay if you don't know every answer, as long as they really understand how you think. That's probably the greatest bit of advice I'd give to somebody, because that's when you get into the dialogue and the intimidation factor goes away.
Awesome. I love that advice. Now I want advice on the person who has a 9-to-5 job. There's a lot of them out there. You made the jump. But I think there's so many people that are crippled in fear, crippled in uncertainty about, is it the right time? How am I going to pay my bills? We get all different types of answers. That's why I'm excited to get yours. Somebody has a 9-to-5 job. They want to, desperately want to cut the cord and go after their passions and their business. But for fear, uncertainty, and other variables, they're not going yet. What's your advice?
I think it's really hard to dip your toe and try and do it after hours. I know that
seems
like it seems like the logical way to do it, but you're never going to put yourself out there and truly be successful in a way that it requires. Like this is a put your whole self into it kind of
you're all in.
And honestly, you could always go back. You can always go back to the 9 to 5.
But most people are terrified of going back because if their friends and their family are like, well, you quit your job, which we already said not to do. You went out and your business failed. We were rooting for you, but we kind of knew it was going to fail, which is like, great. What a great friend or family member. And now you got to go back to the 9 to 5 job. That's like the nightmare. I think most people, employees are terrified of losing their job. Entrepreneurs are terrified of having a job. So to quit your job, go get be an entrepreneur and then have it fail and come back. It's like the nightmare of nightmares.
Yeah, it's not fun, you know, but you're going to have to make tougher decisions in the business than deciding to quit and go back. And hey, you know what? You maybe don't need to go back. You could do other freelance or whatever to sustain some income until you figure out the next step. But I think it's harder being an entrepreneur and the decisions you have to make versus going back.
I 100% agree. But again, to the point, a lot of people are going through that struggle in their mind, right? Oh no, what am I going
to
do?
And I don't want to. I have the same struggle. I'm not,
I remember thinking that before my business took off. I remember my first year and even at some points in my second year being like, oh my goodness, it'd be so much easier to just shut everything down. Mm-hmm. I'm only paying other people first. Like I'm working to make money to pay other people first. And pay myself last. And if there's not enough to go around, I don't get anything or I get very little. But I'm the one doing most of the work that ends up paying all these people. And it's just like, it'd be so much easier to go get a job and keep all my own money. And being in that place is such a terrible feeling. But I think having gone through that, pushing through it and getting to a place where you're like, now I'm at a place in my life where I don't ever have to worry about money. It's just like to look back and be like, you got through it. That's the goal, I think, of an entrepreneur is to get to that place. But you got to get through the hustle and you got to get through the adversity. Take me back to a season in your life where you had adversity. Could be maybe in this first year of your business.
It's right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 1 year into this business. So I'm in that place right now where you're worrying about money and you're paying everybody else before you're paying yourself. And you're working like you've never worked.
Yeah.
You know, I've had 20 years in tech and I'm working harder than I've ever worked. There are super low days, but the highs are really great. And you just have to kind of say, okay, I have another woman that works with me and we're always like, okay, what are we celebrating today? And I know it sounds kind of hokey, but we're like, hey, let's celebrate the person who commented on that blog post because it was one person that we reached. And so we make it a point to have a little bit of quirky humor to keep our spirits up, to keep us going. But it's not, I'm in it right now. And every day is a self-talk to myself around staying positive and just fighting through it.
And that's huge. It's the self-talk going on in your head that's either going to crush you and make you quit or it's going to get you back up and keep going. I love that you just said, you know, you celebrate the small wins. Reminds me of a quote from my friend, John Assaroff. He says, celebrate the small wins as if they're big and the big wins as if they're normal. Mm. Jill, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you
so much. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. What do the best bosses do every day? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Your company is only as good as the culture, and that starts with the boss. Here are some things the best bosses do every day to provide a happy workplace and make them wildly successful. One, they don't micromanage. Be an amazing boss by taking comfort in the fact you hired the right employees with the right talents and qualifications. Two, they reinforce good work. It's a simple concept. If you boost morale, you boost productivity right there in the workplace. Three, they listen. Here's a trick. Say, tell me more, to show you're actually listening or when giving feedback. Cultivating respect in the workplace doesn't happen all at once. It's about a series of daily habits that mesh creativity and leadership. It also instills trust in them as well. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
It's amazing, but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Creeble.
A woman in Philadelphia, having an argument with her boyfriend in a restaurant, got so angry she threw a soft drink at him. Then, as she was storming away, she slipped on the wet floor and broke her tailbone. Never mind that the floor was wet because of the drink she herself had thrown. She was still so angry she decided to sue. She did not sue the boyfriend because he didn't have any money. She sued the restaurant for having a wet floor. A jury ordered the restaurant to pay her $113,000. Her medical bills were real, of course, but does that make the business owner responsible? Looking through the lens of liberty, if we see any law-abiding citizen being held liable for the bad behavior of another, it ought to make us all angry, and we should do something about it.
For more, check out our podcast at lensofliberty.org.
Hey, have you ever thought to yourself,
inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. This is our CEO roundtable segment. And as always, two rockstar CEOs are joining us right now. Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Kara Santana, CEO and founder of The Glam App.
And what is The Glam App? Do you might as well give us a little bit of background?
Right. The Glam App is Uber for beauty. It's hair, makeup, and nails on demand.
All right. Well, let's see if he is the Uber of something, too. What do you do?
My name is Taylor Walker. I'm the CEO and founder of Earth Encounters. It's a gaming company. We create board games, educational board games that are also fun, but teach people about societal issues in a competitive way.
Very cool. Give me a contextual example. Tell us about one of those games. I think that's awesome.
Okay. So, like, for instance, answer me this. What changed the world more, Google or Facebook, and why?
Google or Facebook? That's a tough one. I would say Google, okay. Just because it's an educational tool. It's a learning tool. Mm-hmm. For Facebook, can be as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Facebook's more of a news feed, mm-hmm. where if you're following the wrong people, you're going to be conditioned with the wrong information.
Right.
All of my friends on Facebook and followers and stuff like that, it's peer motivation. You scroll down my news feed, you're going to walk away like you're on fire. You're going to be exactly. motivated. Mm-hmm. But if you're a typical average person, you probably have, you know, friends that are conditioning the wrong things on your newsfeed, mm-hmm. whereas Google is going to be based on the individual user. If you're typing mm-hmm. in good things, number one search thing on Google is how-tos. Mm-hmm. And that means people are looking to learn when they go on Google, mm-hmm. whereas Facebook, you're looking to be conditioned with social media. That's my input.
I'm going
to
say Facebook because it's like connective.
I feel like it's a trick question, obviously.
It's a connective tissue that creates communication anywhere in the world, and you can have a conversation with
through friends and family,
yes.
right? See, there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
But see, the fact is we're creating that dialogue. And so yeah. what we've done is we've created a whole myriad of issues and we put it into a platform where people can talk about and discuss these dialogues. Mm. And so that's
great
what
idea.
We do.
Very cool. What was the hardest part about getting your company started? And then we'll talk about Karis.
I would say the hardest part about getting started was the funding part. So we went through Kickstarter, a crowdfunding campaign, and I've never done anything like it of the sort. Yeah. And so originally it was just a learning curve for us and putting together the Kickstarter campaign, putting together our team to help promote what we were doing and getting our news coverage and stuff like that. I think that was the hardest part for us.
I can totally identify because I just feel like I got very lucky in our first seed round of funding or with mm-hmm. our angel investment. But now that we're gearing up for the second round, there's so many things that I don't necessarily know because my background is not in business
exactly.
and it's not in finance. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much to navigate. So, mm-hmm. and money makes or breaks a business.
Yeah.
So exactly. It's super important.
What information. Yes. Sorry.
Information for sure. What do you think is something that you would go back and share with yourself when you were getting started? I think maybe it could have been to avoid Kickstarter or how to do Kickstarter better.
I would just say prepare more. What I just kind of took 6 months in order to put together our campaign. But when I, after the fact, and I did my research, it turns out that companies were actually taking a year, at least a year in advance to market their, to basically build their community, market their product, and then come out with the Kickstarter campaign. So I think preparation was a little, I would have went back and did a little bit more of that, but it turned out okay.
That's a good one. Kara?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's
the Glam app's been around for 17 months. So what's something that you wish you knew when you got started?
You know, I think for me, being a woman and being a young woman and being a young woman who doesn't have a business background, there were so many things to navigate. And I think I oftentimes didn't choose my battles because I felt such a sense of need to sort of change people's perspectives. And I would, going back and looking in retrospect, I would say, you know what, just focus on what it is you're trying to accomplish and don't be so bogged down with the criticism and negativity.
I would have to agree with that. I mean, us being entrepreneurs, you have to just, you know, be very strong in your resolve with whatever you're doing, with whatever company you have. So there's going to be a lot of doubters out there and you want to just push through that and just see your vision through to the end. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. I love what you just said, which was doubters. We can call them haters, doubters, whatever. People don't support us.
They come in many different shapes and sizes, but I mean, you just got to stay strong, and being an entrepreneur is a bumpy road, and you have to have that type of resolve in order to be successful.
You come from an acting background, so at some point, you've learned how to overcome fear of rejection, what other people think about you, being nervous on stage or on camera.
Yeah.
Those are all things that I feel like a lot of people struggle with, which is why they stay in a safe, secure, certain, comfortable environment, job, life, relationship. So I think at the end of the day, every entrepreneur starts to condition themselves with a new way of looking at failure, a new way of looking at rejection, a new way of not so much caring about what other people think. When do you feel like you had developed that mindset? And what do you think are some keys to developing that mindset for people that maybe don't have it yet?
For me, I was an athlete, and so I played college sports. And so, I mean, my coach would yell at me all the time. So that's like one form of rejection. So just, you know, being able to, I've also been able to, like, you know, have interviews and stuff like that and press conferences and stuff like that. So I've kind of been able to, it's kind of molded me, or I've kind of taken some of the skills I've learned from that experience in order to, like, help me in the entrepreneurial space. But I mean, I'm sure you go through the same thing in acting.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I said it earlier, is rejection is just one more attempt at success. So it's like, it's another opportunity. And I think if you look at the glass half full, as opposed to half empty, you're probably more inclined to continue to push through, as you said, and have that resilience. And and so I just try and, you know, learn from everything that happens, good or bad.
Yeah, one of my mentors always used to tell me, like, he wants to fail because the more he fails, the more he gets to learn stuff.
Exactly.
And so all your failures as a whole make up your whole being, and that contributes to your success.
And that's a shift that a lot of people have to learn how to develop.
Yeah.
Is at the end of the day, what separates successful entrepreneurs and people in general is the mindset. We're here at the CEO Roundtable. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining us is two rockstar CEOs. Give us a quick recap. Who are you and what do you do?
Kara Santana, CEO and founder of the Glam App, an on-demand beauty platform bringing consumers and providers of beauty together.
Thanks for being here.
Taylor Walker, co-founder of Earth Encounters, a gaming company that creates socially conscious board games, and I actually sell board games.
Did you guys always think that you were going to be entrepreneurs? Like, she stumbled into it, I know.
Yeah, I just fell into it.
She stumbled into it, but what about you?
I kind of did. I mean, I saw growing up, I saw my father both do the entrepreneurial thing. He used to do licensed beach towels for both the Lakers, Michael Jackson. And then I also saw him do the corporate side of things. And I just saw the kind of toll, the emotional and stress that it put on his body. And so I kind of didn't want that for myself. And so I always knew that when I was going back and getting my MBA, I wanted to put all these skills I'm learning towards creating my own.
Guys, I wish we had more time. It's been a pleasure having you with us. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. A community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.